John Heacock with the Division of Aquatic Resources, Department of Land and Natural Resources.
I'm here to announce our new interactive radio program entitled
Kauai Kai and Why,
where we'll talk about our island's freshwater and marine resources. We'll encourage listeners to call in and we'll take questions.
Ideally, to empower you to help us conserve and restore these important ecological and economic resources for the well-being of Kauai's watersheds. Our live Kauai Kai program will be on the first and third Mondays
Fridays
of each month. Ahuiho, malama pono.
Aloha, this is Adam Asquith with the University of Hawaii Sea Grant Program.
And this is Don Heacock with the Department of Land and Natural Resources.
With another version of Kauai, Kai, and Why, where we talk about our island's freshwater and marine resources and focus on interviewing kupuna and kahuna who were willing to share their mana'o about the traditional ways of managing our resources for future generations. And today we're fortunate to have kahuna, a guest speaker with us in the studio, Kavika Kuchar. Thank you very much for joining us today, Kavika.
Aloha, my name is Kavika Kuchar. I live in the Department of Hawaiian Homelands in Anahola. And this is something I wrote on the way here. This is not the Hawaii I know. As a young man, I ran the sands, paperboarded Kalama Beach, ate at Yamamoto store. I caught upapalu at Prince Kuhio in the dark night. I swam the rivers, set net in Kalapawai Stream. My brother and I picked mullet from our nets, palanis too. Watch Uncle Poki throw net off a bridge, manini in a stream. Felt the rains flood our home. Seen the moon shine bright with opihi on a grill. Ate the wild pigs, cooked our own ducks, burned our leaves, and planted our vegetables. Seen the walkers at night, chicken skin. Felt the sun dry our wet shorts. Surfed after school. Ate corned beef and cabbage with poi. Heard the whistle at night. Used my fist to make it right. No kapu rivers. Ate turtle every year. Tutu's birthday. Dried fish and squid. Poi with the sour. Time slowly ticks an hour. Surf back door. Kuilima Bay. Makapu. Prince Kuhio. First break. Braniki's Beach. Watch cousins. Surround O'io at Braniki's, save lives from drowning. Felt God's hand, Tutu's stories. Koloa town, Yamamoto store. Dry Opelo, saw the fireball. Seen the Apapani in a mango tree in 1980, listened to his cries, all alone, all alone. This is not the Hawaii I know. Picked limu, sang songs, kupipi ana o Wamapo. No one bothered, no one stole, no one private beach signs of old. No one said, go home, Hawaiian boy. What is good is not anymore. My Hawaii, what have they done? As an apapani sings all alone, the poi grows sour with age. Why you try to save what's not yours? Or say you have a right? Our house was always clean. Alai ulu ula, go to another stream. This is not the Hawaii I know. So I am Kavika Kuchar.
Wow, that was beautiful and heavy, and I'm not sure I understand all or most of it, but it's very heartfelt. And did you tell me that you wrote that today?
Just today.
In an attempt to convey kind of who you are and your feelings on this issue a little bit, yeah?
It's basically from my heart, and it talks about the greatest threat as a kanaka to me as a Hawaiian, as a indigenous person, is the expansion of the government that wants to keep on taking in the disguise of ecology. When if you're a true kanaka, we don't really practice ecology. We practice aloha aina and aloha kaha kai. That means we take care of our resources and we don't exploit them and we don't abuse them.
Yes, let me as we move forward in the discussion, kind of put it in the framework of what we wanted to talk about, and that is this conflicting values with regard to ecology and conservation in our particularly our marine waters here in Hawaii, where our laws, be they state or federal, are by and large European value based laws and restrictions, and those don't frequently jive with traditional Hawaiian values and the rules that that the community is engaged in.
The problem with the Anglo-European mindset, it's a commodity. And most Kanakas believe that the ocean and the mountains are a right that was passed on to us to take care of and use, not to abuse or not to put a value system where everything has a dollar on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Don.
I think, Adam, one of the things that kind of encompasses what you just said, Kavika, was a man that said, I'm trying to remember his name here for a minute, it slipped my mind, Aldo Leopold, who said in 1949, and I'm going to paraphrase it, he says, the reason some of those amongst us have not protected our natural resources is because they view them as commodities that belong to them rather than as part of the watershed ecosystem to which we all belong. The plants, animals, and people, which is most indigenous people, look at the aina, the land, the ocean, as part of their community. It's not anything you would ever buy or sell. It feeds your family. It fed your grandfather, etc.
So, in addition to monetizing those resources, so they could be sold, particularly from the federal perspective, we also bring a unique conservation ethic that's expressed in things like the Endangered Species Act, where we've got this, whether they be monk seals or humpback whales or sea turtles, that are so valuable to the people of the United States that we've got to protect them from indigenous peoples like you, who, even though the animals may live in your backyard. So we have conflict both in the sense of monetization of those resources as a commodity, and then imposing a Western conservation ethic on your community also. I'll let you answer that, and then I think we've got a phone call.
That's a pretty heavy question. Do you know that, first of all, the United States doesn't own my waters. We have never signed a treaty with the United States giving our tacit rights over to the United States concerning our oceans or the waters in the river. And if you can show me a treaty that says it, then I'll believe it. But there is no treaty with the Native Hawaiian people, the Kanaka, giving our rights up to our seas.
And Kavika, that's even the United Nations has ruled that as a fact. Is that correct?
Yeah. If you look at Hawaii's history, after the overthrow and the people who benefited from the overthrow and then the statehood, you realize that we made laws upon laws upon laws upon an illegal act,
right,
to begin with. So if you study any amount of law, you'd realize that what was ever done that was illegal can only be made right first before you can make a law on top of the act.
Right.
So basically, I consider the waters, our waters as Kanakas, as Hawaiians, and we let everybody use them to go snorkeling, to go fishing, all the non-native Hawaiians in Hawaii. We have always done that because that's called aloha. But the problem is when people say aloha back to us, it's about, you can't do this. But we never did tell anybody, you can't go surfing PKs. I've never told anybody, you can't go throw your pole at the Mahalo Pool. Never. A non-Hawaiian. Because we're not taught that way. There's a whole different mindset. And, you know, I've been to Europe, and I've seen Europe. I was there 36 months. Okay? And you don't want the Anglo-European mindset. Everybody is like a robot, and everybody listens to the government. I believe government's supposed to serve us, not the people serve the government. So there's a great divide, even amongst our own Kanaka people. Some people think that the government, we should serve the government. That's not true. And the kings and queens, they always served all the Maka Ainana. They always took care of our people. They were, even though they had some outside influence with the missionaries and the whalers and the plantation owners, deep in their heart, they knew that if they didn't take care of the Makainana, the common person, there would be no Hawaii.
Right. Okay, let's continue this in just a second, but just take the call. Oh, the caller's gone. So let me push the conversation by playing the role of the Western government imposing our values upon yours and say, well, the monk seal has been abused by these commodity trades and the other influences. So we must take control of that resource for the benefit of the larger community so that it doesn't go extinct. And so we're going to have to set some limitations upon what you can do in your waters.
Okay. Number one, if you study history, there's no chant about the monk seal. There's no pohaku of the monk seal. There's no heiau of the monk seal. There's no hula of the monk seal. There's no genealogy of the monk seal. There's no mea kaua, which means a weapon made out of monk seal. There's no medicinal purposes to the monk seal. There's nobody who worshipped the monk seal as an aumakua. I can go on and on. There's no physical DNA sequence, we use a scientific term, that says it was from the main Hawaiian Islands. But there is sequences of other islands where it was. If you remember in the 50s, they were blowing nukes up. Man, the Micronesians had to move Iniwetok. Anybody know Iniwetok, right? Okay, if you go back in their history, they have a legend of the man who steals fish. And if you go further down the South Pacific, they have legends of a man who steals fish. But they weren't talking about a man. They were talking about a seal. Okay? A seal is like a dog. A dog knows where he's wanted and knows where he's not wanted. So if you brought a bunch of dogs and let them loose on the beach in Hanalei, what's the first thing that's going to happen? You're going to have anarchy, right? And then you're going to have the people who are trying to protect the anarchy. And then what does that cause? More anarchy. There's a time and place to save animals. And believe me, I'm not against saving a species. And if you really wanted to save the monk seal, first of all, you would have put it where there's no people. Where there'd be no outside influence to hurt the seal. You would have took it down below us to Palmer Island, the Bismarck Chain. I'm using old names. The Bismarck Chain. Maybe even Indian Ocean. Because it's a free spirit, the seal.
And those are reef habitats.
Reef habitats.
Yep.
All safe for the seal.
Right.
It's got its natural problems with the predators. They have sharks there to eat them. Mm-hmm. And then you can fix the system. But if you bring an invasive species that eats 400 pounds of fish a day, and you got a small group of indigenous people that still fish and put food on their plates, so that means somebody's going to lose. And I'm not against saving animals. I just think there's better ways to do it.
Right. More appropriate places.
More appropriate places and better ways of doing it.
Right. Right.
You know, it's just like the whale. To me, I remember when I was in high school, they used to say, all the whales will be dead by 1980. Japan would have fished them all. That didn't happen.
Right.
And that our rivers would be so polluted, nobody could swim in. That didn't happen. And the skies would be gray from all the factories pumping out the rubbish. None of that happened. Do you know why? Because people were concerned. That's why it didn't happen. With the whale, I'm not against indigenous people taking whales for subsistence purposes. I know a whole bunch of Eskimos. They're good people. You know, and even the Japanese. I think 800 is a little bit excessive. But I don't know how they can actually get a count on how many whales there is unless you tag each whale. Which is almost impossible to do. But I do think there is a time, there's certain things you just got to leave alone. And like the whale in Hawaii, nobody eats the whale. So to pour millions of dollars to protect it, to not get eaten, doesn't make sense to me at all.
Right.
And to pour millions of dollars into somebody's pocket who's a scientist to tell me not to eat the whale when nobody eats them, I mean, that just doesn't make sense. Number one. Number two is, I don't know anybody who runs over whales with their boats. Number three, all my friends that fish on boats, they don't bother the whale. They don't hook the whale. They don't spear the whale. They don't harass the whale. They don't chase the whale. They don't take people out and follow them 50 feet away and take pictures. Number three, I don't know anybody who sets nets for whales.
Take a big net.
I mean, if it's just crazy to me. I mean, if you want to stop the net stuff, it's not the local guy with his rowboat or the guy with his tube catching whales. Those nets are from cargo ships.
Right.
That pass all through the Pacific. Just have a ship go around the Pacific, pick up the cargo nets.
Yeah, sometimes I think Kavika, you're touching on an issue that all of us know it tends to be generally true that governments like to protect their existence. They need to justify themselves. And money's involved, and power and prestige all comes into play. And I just think of Thomas Jefferson that once said, government is best that governs least. And clearly, people, communities, are, even in our state constitution, it says the people are the government. So how do we get there from here? When your discussion of the whale, for example, just now, in the North Pacific, it's gone from about 1,200 up to 21,000. That's a couple of thousand percent, several thousand percent increase. And it wasn't anything that we did. It was the fact that whaling countries that used to whale are no longer whaling.
And as Kavika pointed out, there's no activities in Hawaii that are taking whales or causing even their reduced
reproduction. Whales, that's right. And the whales aren't even feeding here, so they're not competing for resources.
And, you know, everybody thinks there's only humpbacks in Hawaii. If you're a fisherman, you know there's sperms, blues, grays, occasional grays, minks, orcas, melon heads, sperms, and there's a couple more lesser whales that are in Hawaiian waters.
That's right.
Always.
And sperm whales clearly make up the majority of the whales. You just have to get them 50 miles offshore before you see them, generally. Always.
Pilot whales. Did you mention?
Pilot whales.
Pilot whales, I see them.
And false killer whales.
Right.
False killer whales. And you got the big porpoise. I forget what they call it, but it's a whale.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 30 feet long.
Right.
You know? So you concentrate on the humpback. Well, what about everybody else?
Right. That's really one of the main concepts here is when you deal with the Endangered Species Act, you deal with single species. Whereas there are discussions and trends towards ecosystem management, which clearly your ancestors did, especially when the Ahupua'a system was put into place about 550 years ago. But actually, when you get into the literature and read ecosystem management, it clearly defines that people are part of that ecosystem. And it really stresses indigenous people, because indigenous people are like unique species. They're unique cultures. We all need to support both species diversity and cultural diversity.
I look at it this way. God made every climate, continent, country, and put certain people there for a reason. So they could adapt, use their resources, but not go and take over everybody's resources and say, this is the way we do it. And sometimes I have this anger that comes inside of me because I see a lot of stuff and seems like there's like a page in a book that wasn't written that everybody hasn't read. And basically it boils down to this: respect. It's like this. I won't go throw my big fishing pole, my ulua pole, in front of you if you're throwing that. The reason why is because it's about respect. I won't go throw net on the school of mullet that is in front of you when you're with your fishing pole, because that's about respect. I won't go surround the school that you've been washing for 4 days, because it's about respect. I won't go behind you and pick the baby opihis that you just picked the adults. It all boils down to respect. It's like, I get back to the Wisconsin thing. I got some good friends from Wisconsin. They eat moose. They've lived there 200 years. and they also have Indian relatives, First Americans.
Aye.
And they eat moose. I moved from Hollywood, drive my Beamer up there, put my mansion up in the hill. All of a sudden, I don't want you to eat moose. Who's right? The people from Wisconsin. I mean, it's real simple. I mean, there's no... It's just like I would never go to Quebec and tell them, I'm sorry, you can't eat any more harp seals.
Right.
Because I think they're pretty. No. That's not my home, number one. Number two, I don't have the right to tell them what is right and wrong in their own country. And that's... See, and people forget that Hawaii was an independent country at one time. And that we still have that independent thinking that this is not our state, our country. Even though it might be a state, to me it's still my homeland. There's a difference between a state. There's no other place that we can go and call home. It's like the Fijians. The only place they can call home is Fiji. The Samoans, Samoa. The Tongans, Tonga. The Maori, Aotearoa. And that's the problem that I see, that people, they just don't get it.
So now we're talking two related issues in that there's individuals like myself who moved to Hawaii and bring a different background, different values, different moral system, different behaviors. I don't have the right, because this is not my original home, to impose my experience, my values upon you because it's your home. Then we have government and the regulations that have essentially done the same thing. They have come to a place that is not their original home, mm-hmm. And are imposing their values through the laws on you, the original homeowner. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I grew up with a lot of good Holly boys, and most of them I paddled with, played sports with. We fished together. Some of them we hunted together. And you know, all of them married local girls. And you know what? Not once would they go to Oluwau and tell, hey, we're not going to eat the pig, bro. Not once. You know why? Because they knew about respect, because they learned it. Even though they were from, like, say, Wisconsin.
Right.
I don't want to pick on Wisconsin because somebody did
Dean's about to go to Wisconsin.
Or Florida, or wherever, New York. But they would never say, you know what, bro? What they would try to do is become like us. I got a good Holly friend. His name's Steve. We grew up from small. He's Jewish. And, you know, he never used to celebrate Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween. And he never had a lot of stuff. So my mom would bring him over during Thanksgiving. And he would eat with us. And you know what? Now he eats Thanksgiving.
Right.
He celebrates Christmas. But see, we weren't trying to change him. He was trying to become like us so he could fit in and be accepted. And that's what I think a lot of people forget. In Hawaii, it's like when I was overseas, if I wanted to talk to somebody and they didn't speak English or Hawaiian, I got to go learn their language.
That's right.
And I got to learn what not to do and what not to say and how not to act.
Perhaps the fundamental issue is that neither the government nor individuals who move here recognize that underlying distinction, is that this is your home. It's not their home, and that when you good graces. Would demand that when you go to somebody's home, you show respect and you do as they do, so that you do not offend them. Am I capturing that? That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line right there.
Okay.
That's the whole coconut.
Yep.
If I go to, say, my auntie's house, we usually take something with us because it's an honor to be able to go to my auntie's house. Okay. We usually bring a gift. But I don't go inside my auntie's house and say, oh, auntie, your toilet is dirty. When's the last time you didn't scrub them? I don't do that. You know why? Because that's not respect.
Right.
And if it is dirty, it's not me for tell her.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, say, Don, I know he grows kalo. Like, I'd go to Don's Kalo field and say, oh, how the junk your Kalo John?
Plenty of weeds.
I wouldn't do that.
Right, right.
Because I know it took all this time just to plant them and to have it growing, and he had to have the Hawaii working right and the water and the right fertilizers, be it organic or granular, and he's growing his Kalo because he wants to. It's not me to go over there, oh, what a junk your Kalo.
Right.
I would never do that. I would say, you know what, Don? Well, brother, you're growing the Kalo. It's good for you. Good for you. But maybe I don't grow my Kalo the way he does. But that doesn't mean it's not Kalo.
Okay, so let me direct the conversation in this, because what Don and I are trying to do with this show is mm-hmm. reach out to the community who might be listening. And to be quite honest, the listening audience of this show is primarily Haole. And so we're hoping to deliver a message through Kama'aina and Kanaka like yourself as to how to improve, because we're all here together now, right?
So
we're all in one boat. So going forward, how do we make this work based upon what you and your kupuna obviously were doing right because it worked, all right? And so we got two levels. What do we say to individuals who come here about their attitude and how they interact with you and the marine resources? And second, how do they interact with these government laws which give them a tool?
Mm-hmm.
So now
like
give
a
them
weapon.
A like a weapon.
Yeah, weapon. Well, like, I've had friends from far away move here, and the bottom line is respect.
Okay.
Bottom line is respect. Number two, if you don't like me throwing net, that's up to you. I'm still going to throw net, even though you don't want me throwing net.
Right.
I'm still going to walk on the reef, go throw in a puka, pick up the fish. I'm not killing the reef. You know, we get back to the two sets of values, okay? What's important to me is I have no other country to run away to.
Right, right.
That's right.
Okay? I got no other place to go. Neither do my kids or my ohana or my relatives, my cousins. This is our only homeland. We don't can start a new tribe in South Africa.
Right.
You know, and bring our customs there. Because it's not going to work. There's already people there. But people who come here should learn our ways. Number one, learn history. Learn history. Learn about our culture. Learn about our language. Learn about our music. Learn about our family values. Because, you know, Hawaiians have real, we have real strong ohana's families, and our families is always built on either a patriarch or a monarch who's led the family, who's set the example, who spoke the words, that has lived the words. And I would think that would be the first start. The second start is don't go to somebody else's house and tell them when you can wash your laundry. Because it's my laundry.
Right.
I mean, it's not that great a problem. And if you want to fix the forest, when I go to your house, you better have 1,000 trees in your yard.
Why is that?
Because you set an example then.
Right.
And he knows you what you're talking. Right. You know what you're talking about.
Right. If you're not walking the walk, then don't talk. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you talk about, right. Here, I'll just get off GMO. Okay. I farm. I grow eggplants, basil, Thai, lemon, bananas, I get mangoes, lemons.
Right, right.
And some other crops. None of it's GMO. Do you know why? Because I don't want something genetically modified in my body that's going to show up when I'm 70 or 80.
Right.
Because genetically modified things will attack the second and third generation, not the first generation. And I'm not against natural selection of plants growing together, mm-hmm. crossing. But I don't think you should have an octopus mango tree.
That's right.
Or a rabbit corn. And you can't bring that here because where you come from, you could have done it there.
Right.
So why come experiment on us?
Good question.
It's just like the laws. Why not fix the law over there, where you're originally from, to make a difference there, clean your house, then come. You know what, Kofi Kai, I can help you with your yard. Really? What does my yard need?
That tends to be a Western thing. You just keep moving further west after you.
Okay, so So respect. So the first lesson is just respect. If this is not your home, and so please respect those individuals for whose home it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say I'm a good intended Malihini. I come and I'm going to get involved in the Monk Seal Watch program. So I'm down at Larson's. I've been given a job to watch this monk seal, make sure nobody comes near it, and you come down and start throwing net, and you know you're for God's sake, you're within 10 feet of the monk seal, and I'm going to tell you, you need to leave this beautiful creature alone. It needs its rest, and I've been told by authorities this is important. What do I do? Let's take the call before you answer that question.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Aloha.
Hey, yeah, I just tuned in, and it sounded like, I don't know if the conversation started out with, like, that meeting that went on in Anahola with green energy, or are you guys talking about something completely different?
No, we're talking about something completely different, yeah.
Okay, because it sounds like exactly the same thing, you know, like I saw in the newspaper where they were talking about how rude the people were about shouting over and talking over. But when the people came there, it sounds like they were doing exactly what you're talking about people shouldn't do. Come there and say, oh, we're going to come to your house, and we're going to tell you how to clean it, and we're going to clean it for you, and we're going to live in your house, and just you guys are going to have to sleep on the couch for 30 years. And then you can have it back, but your house is a mess. We're going to come clean it for you.
Well, I think that's probably a common, Kavika would probably say that's a common theme in many of these activities, that people don't come with respect that he's recommending they do.
Yeah,
but I
just thought it was rude for the way that Garden Island made it look like the people there were being, you know, rude and angry and, you know, I was at that meeting, and I'm a non-Hawaiian, and I just went to listen, you know, and I didn't live in Anahola. And so I wasn't even going to speak. I was just going to listen. But when I heard the way they were, basically one of the people in the crowd did it perfectly, trying to pull this dog and pony show. I mean, that was a perfect wording for what they were kind of trying to pull over.
Well,
it made me angry.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to stand up and speak, and I said, you know, it doesn't really involve me. This is an issue with the Hawaiian people. But just seeing the disrespect and how they're trying to kind of, like, pull the wool over their eyes, it's like just like exactly what you guys are talking about, and that it goes on over and over again, the common theme. And then they say, oh, how rude the people were, or, you know, how angry they were. No kidding.
Well, thank you for reminding us that that the theme we're talking about respecting people's home, whether it's regard to marine resources or mauka resources, is common. But on this program, we're going to talk about the ocean with Kavika.
Okay, yeah, no worries. Like I said, I just turned in, and it sounded so much exactly like what just went down over there. I just had to.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for the call.
Yeah. All right. Aloha. Okay, so Kavika, so again, I'm a good intended Malihini. You know, I want to do the right thing, and gosh, these people have told me that I can help by making sure that you don't disturb the monk seal. So I'm confused here.
Okay, I've had that happen to me, probably like 3 times already.
Okay,
okay, and I was with my nephews and my son. So we're walking on the beach. I seen the monk seal. It was fine. We walked around him. Lady comes up to me. I'm like, whoa, relax.
She had a whistle?
Whistle, yeah. I'm not going to say who that was. But older lady, too. Older than me. So she goes, do you know that's an endangered species? I go, yes. She goes, then you know they're not supposed to be within 10 feet of it. I go, yes. She goes, don't you know you're not supposed to fish by it? No. And then I go, excuse me. I understand it's an endangered species. But so am I. So am I, and so are all these people with me. So we're not going to catch the seal and eat the seal. So we're not going to bother your seal. And can you please not bother us? And then I walked away. But then I've had people come up to me and try to give me the whole history. And that's when I stop and I say, okay, so you were told by these people. Recite to me the chant. Number two, show me the petroglyph. Number three, show me the burn pit. If you cannot, then you should not talk to me. Because I'm exercising my indigenous rights, which have precedence over this animal. And we're not here to eat the animal.
You know, that's, Kavika, on that subject, I've been fortunate enough to been invited to Niihau on a number of occasions, and I've seen Niihauans walk through, silently, barefooted, walk through seven adult sleeping seals and a few pups, throw their net, catch a fish, walk right back in the same footsteps. The seals might open their eye a little bit and look at them, go right back to sleep. They can coexist. They aren't mutually exclusive. And I think back to an article that George Balazs wrote in the Star Bulletin, when it was called the Star Bulletin, a long time ago, and it, maybe 5-6 years ago. He said 95% of the laws that protect sea turtles today have no biological basis. So when the federal government formed those laws, they went very, perhaps overboard, be very extra careful, conservative, that everything was, the animal wasn't disturbed and blah, blah, blah in any way. But walking up to a turtle when it's sleeping on the beach, taking a photograph of it from, you know, 5 or 10 feet away probably has no impact. Jumping up on down on it or riding it certainly has impact. But I think we have a caller. Oh, no.
I think that the turtle issue is simple. When they started to protect the turtle, I guess it was in 1978.
Yes.
Right. The last time we ate one was in 1975, and it was legal. And we had a big party, 200 Hawaiians, two turtles, big turtles, maybe 60, 80 pounds, maybe 100 pounds. And my dad dug a hole. My Uncle Poki was there. It was down Lanikai, the son of Oahu, and dug a hole, got the kiabi, started the kiabi lit. Tutuman them, cleaned the turtle in and out, put the turtle in a sauce, used every part of the turtle. The hauna they took to the beach, fed the fish with the hauna. Came back the night before, my uncle them had go dive. They had about 50 lobsters. We started put 10 gallons of salt water, blue salt water, into the 55-gallon drum. It starts to boil. We put the salt inside.
Right.
And then they cut the turtle into pieces and steaks. Put the steaks inside the 55-gallon drum. Put the 50 lobsters on top. Cook for a couple hours. Add soy, ginger, garlic, and some other sauces. Fed 200 people. We did that once a year. And we did it for a special occasion. It was Tutu's birthday. And we never waste any part of the turtle. They even use the shell for jewelry, as for weapons. And even medicinal, because the green slime is supposed to be part of a cure for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the Tutus there use the green slime of the turtle for medicinal, like boils and bad infections, and even use the blood. And at that time, there was a lot of Oriental restaurants, and they were selling turtle, which was a bad thing to do. But there is not only one turtle that visits Hawaii. There's also the leatherback turtle that comes every so often. And I think with their goal of protecting the turtle, they should have did the leatherback turtle.
So it's always more rare than that.
And just put a quota on the take of the green sea turtle, and so much for indigenous people and so much for regular people like they do the deer. And then we wouldn't have the problem we have now. There's too many turtles and not enough limu for the turtles. And I think that's one reason why they're getting tumors. And you can see them sick. Like Don has had to come to a place, and I showed him a turtle, and I knew what was wrong with the turtle because I spoke to him in Hawaiian, and he was sick. and he was probably going to mock you.
You know, it's a interesting topic, but in 1977, when the federal government was considering listing green sea turtle, several organizations in Hawaii, Sierra Club, Audubon Society, Bishop Museum, even the head of the green sea turtle program for the federal government recommended against the listing. This is why. For what you just said, what caused the decline was the commercial hunting, the restaurant sale. It wasn't subsistence taking by Native Hawaiians. It was commercialization and over-exploitation. And the turtle researcher for the federal government said, you know, I recommend against listing it because they will come back now that commercial hunting has been banned by the state.
And they don't long line for turtle off of Mexico no more.
Right.
That's right.
Mexico grows their turtles to eat now.
Yeah, so I think we're getting a little on a tangent, mm-hmm. but back to...
Sorry.
Kavika, if...
I just want to say what I think what Kavika is saying with the example of his family's use of the turtle is that in many of these issues that there's no distinction made under the law for family use or subsistence use and commercial use, and it's the commercial use that again monetized that commodity that forced the decline.
We're going to take more than what you need, right? If you're can commercial
the whale.
Yeah, just like
commercialized
that.
The whale.
That's right.
They took thousands during the whaling, and they weren't thinking long term.
That's right.
But now you and your family are caught under this federal law.
It says I cannot.
It says you cannot. Not because anything you did, because someone, the commercial aspects did.
But someone who had a different set of values.
Values,
then.
Right.
And I shouldn't be punished for their values.
Right.
You should punish the person that commits the crime.
That's right. And
not
and
the people
right.
that weren't even in the scene.
That's right. You know, the International Union for the Conservation of Nature now lists Hawaiian honu as of little concern. In other words...
It's off the endangered species list.
Well, they're basically recommending that it be taken off the federal list. And I put in... my testimony in favor of it being delisted off the federal list. The general public doesn't realize, though, it'll still be protected under state law.
Yeah.
Right now, your taxpayers' dollars paying Department of Commerce, NOAA Fisheries, Department of Interior, Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Department of Land and Natural Resources to protect honu for you.
Mm-hmm. I know that if they'd put a tag system in place and give so many to Kanakas on Hawaiian homes, and then so many to the non-Kanakas off the Hawaiian homes, and then so many to the general public, like they do deer, mm-hmm. with different months and a size, then it would work. And with the exception that there is no selling it, and it only can be used for family gatherings and for subsistence, but only once a year. Because... You figure there's what? I just read 1.3 million people in Hawaii. You figure out of 1.3 million people in Hawaii, there's 123,000 people of Hawaiian ancestry. So you figure out of the 123,000 people of Hawaiian ancestry, there's 200,000 acres of Hawaiian homelands with less than 40,000 Hawaiians living on it.
Wow.
And then you take all the non-Hawaiians that live in the city, Honolulu, and outside of the city, there's probably 65,000 of them, give or take. And then you got the ones that are in school. They don't really have places to clean the turtle, so they'd have to go back to the source,
right,
which would be the home. And then you got 350,000 Hawaiians in the mainland. So the thing is, with a tag system, there would be accountability, and people would know, I can only take this once a year, and it either be by hook or catchment system, not by net. But that would be the way to do it, and then it would help the species get stronger.
Right.
See, it's like deer. If there's no wolves in the forest, the deer grow out of control, they get mutant antlers, and then they have die-offs. Do you know that if we don't do something about the turtle, we're going to have die-offs of the turtle? It's just a matter of time.
That's right.
And when the turtle dies off, it's going to affect everything because we're going to have more big predators closer into shore and more people get bite.
Yeah, this issue of balancing the species in the ecosystems is a really important issue. In Alaska, they're looking at whales now as top predators in that the population has increased to such a large extent that they're now feeding on a lot of the krill, sardines, herring that drive most of their fisheries. In fact, they even believe now they're competing for other species like stellar sea lions. So the whales are perhaps out of balance. Mm-hmm. I say perhaps.
So Kavika, I know, you know, after sharing what you wrote with us this morning, that these feelings are very deep-seated. It comes from the heart, and I know it can be very frustrating for you to face individuals in the government that have conflicting values. And so, I've always appreciated how you can control your anger and be so eloquent in sharing the values, which many of us don't. It's foreign because we're coming from a foreign place, right? So we come here and it seems strange. So to a listener going, wow, how can this guy be talking about eating a turtle, right? many people, you know, most Hawaiians may share that perspective. They may have that same experience, right? So it's not just you. You're just not some crazy Hawaiian from Manahola. There's
no.
You're speaking for, right?
No.
In fact, you belong to a coalition,
yeah,
also.
Manini Coalition.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the basis is this. I believe Akua gave us the animals, okay, to take care of and to use. I don't believe that Akua created me as an animal, but I'm created in his image to take care of the garden and the ocean, okay? And that's the difference. I don't worship any animals. I worship Akua, who gave me the animals to eat and to use and to grow and to share with other people. And that's the problem where we have. Some people worship the creature instead of the creator, and the creature becomes their creator. But I'll tell you something. I have never seen a turtle walk up to somebody and say, how's your day? I have never seen a whale kiss somebody. I've never seen a penguin fly. Basically, what I'm trying to say is the God of this universe created my people in his image, and he gave us these islands, and only he can take them away. And that he gave us all the animals to use, but not to abuse and not to exploit, not to just hurt, but to use in a way that's right. Pono.
Aye.
And that's the difference where the whole clash of, I call it the monkey science guys against the God guys. Okay? I had an interesting conversation recently with this person. He says, so Kavika, so what strain of ape do you come from? I went, what? I go, so are you a Pitau man or Peking man? I said, no, none of my ancestors ever lived in a tree. I go, so I don't know where you're going with that, but I don't believe I come from a monkey. And I told him, the reason why I don't believe that, because if you come from a monkey, you're going to end up acting like a monkey.
You know, Kavika, if I may, I rarely respond to blogs, but I had somebody forward one to me recently, and it was someone from Maui on a blog saying, I think it's absolutely awful that sea turtles might be delisted because they would see a native Hawaiian butchering a sea turtle on a beach, and tourists would be horrified, and it'll have a terrible negative impact on tourism. I wrote back. I said, well, it's not if sea turtles will be delisted at the federal level. It's when. And secondly, those tourists, if they went to Sea Life Park and saw the nice animals and then took their kids to McDonald's for lunch, and the McDonald's guy was butchering a cow in the parking lot, the kids would equally be traumatized. Most people don't know where their food comes from. They think it comes from Costco or in a can.
And see, that's the that whole opening remark is what's the problem. You come to another place and you exploit it and put a dollar sign on it and then tell the people that from there what they're doing is wrong.
Right.
That's it, there used to be a term for that.
It's called arrogance.
Not only that, it's Anglo-Israelism.
Okay.
Okay, it's an old term. What it means is I'm right no matter what you think. You're always wrong. I've been wrong in a lot of things, you know, and I admit to being wrong. But
that's how we learn.
Yeah, but when you say it's going to affect the tourist industry, you know, there's a lot of tourists that come here to see local people go fishing and to eat the food that they catch. And to walk on the reef and check the lean wall to say, hey,
that's right.
This is what I eat.
Right.
You know, so I don't. That's that's one of the things that blows my mind right there. Because you can see where their whole value system is. Something about
it's
this.
On the dollars.
And it's interesting to me that we have these two prongs of
belief systems. Yeah.
Of the belief systems that are imposed both from the Western perspective. One is monetizing it, dollar perspective, and the other
is idolizing it.
Is idolizing it. Neither one which are consistent with traditional Hawaiian value system.
Which was sustainable.
Yeah. Everybody needs kalau, don't get me wrong. Everybody needs money in this day and age. You gotta pay your electric bill. Nobody got free electric. You gotta work, you gotta do something. You know, and I know guys that have small kids, they go Tronet. And if Tutu needed some fish, he gave him some. But if Tutu's cousin needed some and he needed diapers, he would sell Tutu a small bag of fish at dirt cheap so he could get the diapers for
right.
his kids.
Right.
And I see nothing wrong with that. But what I do see wrong is somebody telling me, okay, Kobiko, you know, you guys are going to eat that turtle. It's really going to put me in trauma. It's going to put me in trauma having you bother me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and it gets back to the respect thing. And, you know, you cannot. That's why I don't like certain snorkel tour companies. Because it's not about the fish. It's not about the tourists. It's all about them lining their pockets. And I'm not going to say all the tourist snorkel companies are bad. But I've seen a couple like that. They'll take them out when the water's rough. And you should never do that.
Right.
The water is not a respecter of persons. Is not a respect of persons. It's like the seven things for no die in the mountain. Don't go hiking when the mountain's black, number one. Number two, always have a cell phone, a lighter, water, and a backpack. Number three, let somebody you know. Number four, don't cross the river when the rocks are going like this. That means there's a flash flood. Number four, make sure you go with somebody who's from here, not from Wisconsin. Sorry, Wisconsin.
Sorry.
Number five, don't go on a tour that the guy's lived here 3 months and tells you to go swim in the channel and snorkel when the waves are 10 feet.
And the current's super strong.
And it's low tide.
Right.
Those are simple things in life, you know. Save a lot of lives. And if everybody just can focus on one or two things, you know what? Just take what you need. Don't kill everything. Don't make more laws, because all that does is put chains on us and makes us more of a slave. And the government's supposed to work for us, not us work for the government.
You know, and I wanted to read this earlier. This is out of the United Nations Declaration of Indigenous Peoples' Rights. They said this in 2007. We are concerned that indigenous people have suffered from historic injustices as a result of their colonization and depression of their dispossession of their lands and natural resources, thus preventing them from exercising their rights to basically sustainable development based on their interests and needs. And that really, it's not just happening here in Hawaii, it's happening all over the world with indigenous people. And it's the United Nations went on to reaffirm that indigenous people, in their exercise of their rights, should be free from all and any kind of discrimination. And it goes on and on. You can go to the website, United Nations, and read that.
You know, people that have come to Hawaii have brought a lot of good things to Hawaii, too. You know, building materials, better ways to build houses, better roads, better medicine. You know, those things are good. We can work together on things like that. Like, I can help you carve. You can help me paint.
Aye.
I can help you clean your yard. You can help me with an invasive tree. Those things we have in common. But the point is when they overstep that bound and then say, Kavika, this is the way we're going to do it. And I'm from Florida.
Right.
So if I can summarize, and you can help me do this, is that for our listeners who are interested in these ocean issues and marine resources, be it the humpback whale or the green sea turtle, when they speak or when they are going to engage in activity, if it's a public meeting or a vote or anything, they should first ask themselves, am I imposing my values on Native Hawaiians, and what ramification may that have? That should be the first question, because what I think you've been telling us is that respect is the first and foremost thing that you're asking from us, to respect your values as to how you view and manage those resources. Is that?
That's pretty much it. And, you know, I wrote this other thing. It's called I Am the Last, if you don't mind if I say it.
Please share it with us.
I went for a walk today in my mind's eye, saw traces of past places, of a canoe club races and turtle steaks in a 55-gallon drum. Hawaiian music playing down a beach road, uncles and aunties singing songs, a big poi bowl with fingers running to and fro, sitting on tables all in neat rows, such a long time ago. It seems like time passes so fast. In a twinkling of my eye, a tear flows. I went for a walk today, in my mind's eye, an old black truck with six dogs. Dad and uncle, all drunk, parked on the beach, two nets across the river full of fish. Kale and me just want to play. A big poi bowl with fingers running wild, sardines and onions with a pinch of Hawaiian salt. Dad's primo beers, mom's eyes full of tears, shaking her head again. It seems time passes so fast as I go, walking down an empty beach. Kolea flying by sands of time, flowing in endless foam, piles of crabs high. Am I the last? I went for a walk today in my mind's eye. Funny how my homeland's changed. It's my heart that aches, for days of long ago. Tables all in rows, 55-gallon drums, aunties and uncles, Hawaiian music, playing all night long, sands of time flowing, the endless foam, piles of sand crabs high. Am I the last? Am I the last? Am I the last? Am I the last? I am the last. The last, the last, the last. The last, the last, the last. I went for a walk today in my mind's eye, saw traces of past places. Am I the last? Am I the last?
Mahalo.
Wow, thank you so much. Wow, thank you so much,
and
Kavika.
To everybody on Kauai who doesn't know me, I don't hate nobody. I don't hate the person of a person's skin color, their hair color, be they Asian, Black, Filipino, Portuguese, Chinese, Korean, Hapahauli, Portuguese, Borinke, Pake, the whole group. I don't hate anybody. Yeah. What makes me angry is the color of a person's heart.
Aye.
That's what makes a person evil, not the color of their skin. And I just wanted to say aloha and mahalo for this time today. Thank you for KKCR. Butch Kekahu was a good friend of mine. We used to have a lot of talks together in his house in Anahola. And I'm glad we have this chance. And if I offended anybody, please forgive me. And mahalo kekua, and thank you for this day.
Mahalo, Kavika.
Mahalo, thank you very much for sharing. Thank you, Dean, for being there for us. Thank you for this opportunity so much.
Okay, we're so happy to see Cindy and Ipo, and Ipo and I used to play together.
Oh, the Wailua River.
Wailua River, Hele on to Kauai, and all that stuff. This is one of my favorite songs. It's called Kona. Apa mai anatuma kani, Hele hulu hulu au kona, Kuai na hanao, Hika poli a kamakua, Hali hali mai anna, kaha noi o tahai na, kuhome ku lau pii. Famai, a famai, ana kamakani, ele hululu a ukona, kuaina hanao, hika kore a kamakua, hali hali a mai ana, ka ano I o tahaina, kuho me kula. Hinani ma oli no haukona, ike ka umai hau kamakua. Kamani no kekai, kekai ma oki oki. Hali hali mai ana, ka anoi o tahaina. Kuho me kula. Mother, sing along with me. Aya, aya, ipa o ali ko kalehua, kaini, ipa o le o kamake make.
Hale, right. KAQA, Kilauea, Hawaii Community Radio.